Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with this due time with Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you on Friday? We had a wonderful end of the week, a freestyle Friday, as we talked about with the men, something that Nanny Helen Burroughs wrote, things the Negro must do for himself. And it was quite an interesting list of things, as she felt back in the 1900s, that the Negro must learn to put first things first: education and development of character traits. And the men agreed that, you know, people just didn't do the things that they needed to do first. The next thing they talked about was the Negro must stop expecting God and white folk to do for him what he can do for himself. And they did not agree that, you know, the Negro should stop expecting God to do for him what he could do for himself. You know, he never got around to the white folk thing. No. Let's talk about some of the other stuff. How about the Negroes must overcome his bad job habits? Wow. Well, the man on this end definitely, the men definitely agreed with that, as we know, you know, when people get on their job, they just don't do, you know, what they're supposed to do. You know, one of the things she named was his bad job habits was absenteeism. Yeah, is that still going on in this day and age? Well, that's what was so interesting about this particular list, because, like I said, this list was written back in the 1900s. And amazingly, we really could see a definite comparison to this day and age. Yeah, it was like, wow, was that somebody writing it in this particular time? So it's really interesting that this list was written back in the 1900s, the early 1900s, and here we are in 2024, and some of the stuff that she was listing could definitely be seen in today's behavior of people on this side of the fence. Yeah, you know, back then they were called Negroes, and even though they're called Blacks and African Americans, and, you know, some people feel like they're not African American, but, you know, they want to be called Black or just simply Americans. Still, there was so much that they could point out then that people are still doing now. So I find that to be rather interesting myself. So we had a really good time on Friday as we, you know, had our chat going on. And the men definitely sent us into a thought-provoking weekend. Yes. Well, I trust that your weekend went well. And last night, I don't know if you were in the room, but the Word Prayer Project was definitely underway. The room was definitely open, and we talked about a renewed mind. And, you know, as I go through this list, that's pretty much what Nanny Burrows was talking about. You know, she was talking about just changing your ways, changing your frame of mind, changing the way you think about things. And although, you know, we were talking about just general things, you know, not godly things, and a renewed mind was specifically talking about changing your mind so that you were thinking on a godly level at all times. And in all honesty, you actually can just change your mindset that your mind is, you know, pretty much different. And you can really and truly call yourself a Christian. And there was a huge challenge put out there last night. I don't know if you were on or not, but if I were you, I would definitely go back and listen. It was definitely an amazing experience last night that I had, you know, as I went before the Lord on behalf of, you know, the people and standing in the gap for the people and just going before the Lord and how he just spoke to me and through me and for you, to you. And it was amazing. It was an amazing, amazing experience last night. And, you know, when you sit down and think about having a renewed mind, think about how many things you can actually just separate yourself from. How many things you can stop doing. How many things that can be done differently, the way you see things. And, you know, God is amazing. Because I don't think a lot of people realize that you can think differently without consider, you know, to be hoity-toity or, you know, bougie or, you know, different to the degree that you think you're better than other people. No, that has nothing to do with it. And a lot of times, you know, when you start changing, people begin to try to make you feel like, you know, you think you're better than other people. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that at all. It's just changing your mind so that you think on a godly level. And, you know, it's something that you want to do. And a lot of people aren't ready for it. And God is rallying up the people to really get themselves together. And that's what he was doing last night. Saying, you know what? The time is now. The time is now to get yourselves together, because I'm closing doors, because I'm shutting things down, because things are going to take a shift, because I'm changing some things, because I'm not allowing the things to happen the way they have been happening. And if you see that things are changing and God is not talking to you the same, and God does not have the same level of tolerance, then you see it. All right? All right? Well, that's how we spend our Sunday night. Well, today is shaking the Monday morning blues all over again. And we are in the month of April. Woo! The time is going by quickly. Quickly. It is April 8th. And giving God the glory for being here, being on this side of the grave. So we're about to get this day started. So let's go get that healthy breakfast. Go tell somebody that it's due time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
This is the story of a boy who didn't talk for a long time. The boy liked things to always be the same. Any changes would scare and upset him. The unknown was an unfriendly place. The boy was very sensitive to lights and sounds. So he built secret hiding places where they couldn't get in. The boy didn't like looking people in the eye. He wasn't trying to be mean. It just made him feel uncomfortable. Sometimes he would flap his arms again and again.
One day, I found out I had something called autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I found my voice and learned all the ways I could live with it better.
Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And we are shaking the Monday morning blues. Giving God thanks that we are on this side of the fence. And just happy to be able to share a brand new Monday in the month of April with you. All right? So you know how we do. We get our health tip first thing Monday morning. And this morning, we're talking about our teeth. And they have reasons too many people lose their teeth. And, you know, years ago, we used to think that we just lost our teeth, you know, when we're about five or so, six, and we start losing those baby teeth. And, you know, we grow them back and that was it. Well, they say while some factors are within our control, others require a more proactive approach to prevention. Because as we get older, if we don't take care of our teeth, we are definitely going to lose them. So we want to learn what it takes to keep your teeth. Okay? Alrighty. Well, one of the first things they talk about is poor oral hygiene, which is the leading cause of losing your teeth. Poor oral hygiene is the most significant factor leading to tooth loss. Regular brushing and flossing remove plaque and sticky film of bacteria that forms on teeth. When plaque is not removed, it can harden into tartar, leading to gum disease and tooth decay, the primary culprits behind tooth loss. So implementing a diligent oral hygiene routine, including twice daily brushing, daily flossing, and regular dental checkups, can significantly reduce the risk of tooth loss. Well, some of the key recommendations: brush twice daily with fluoride toothpaste. Floss daily to remove plaque between teeth. And visit your dentist at least twice a year for professional cleanings and checkups. Okay? Okay. Periodontal disease is the next reason why people lose their teeth. And it's called a silent threat. Periodontal, which is considered gum disease, is an infection of the tissues that hold your teeth in place. It's typically caused by poor brushing and flossing habits that allow plaque to build up on teeth and harden. In advanced stages, periodontal disease can lead to sore, bleeding gums, painful chewing problems, and even tooth loss. Some of the preventive measures to periodontal disease: seek regular professional dental care to detect early signs of gum disease. Quit smoking, as it is a significant risk factor for developing gum disease. And maintain a balanced diet to strengthen your immune system. Alrighty? Alright, the next reason why you lose your teeth: tobacco use. And they call that a dangerous habit. Smoking and using tobacco products significantly increase the risk of gum disease, which is a leading cause of tooth loss. The chemicals in tobacco can slow down the flow of blood to the gums, making it more difficult for the body to heal gum tissue once it's damaged. Well, to combat this, seek support to quit smoking or using tobacco products. Regularly visit your dentist for advice and monitoring of oral health. And use toothpaste and mouthwash designed to combat the effects of smoking on your oral health. Alrighty? Wow. Okay, one of the other reasons why we lose our teeth, poor nutrition. And it's considered the underestimated factor. It says a diet lacking in essential nutrients can weaken the immune system and make it harder for the body to fight off infections, including those that can lead to gum disease and tooth decay. Vitamins and minerals such as vitamin C, calcium, and vitamin D are essential for maintaining healthy gums and teeth. So the dietary changes for better oral health incorporate a variety of fruits and vegetables into your diet. Ensure adequate intake of calcium-rich foods to strengthen teeth. Drink plenty of water to stay hydrated and help wash away food particles and bacteria. Okay? Wow. And the last thing they are listing as a high reason you lose your teeth, excuse me, accidents and injuries. And that's called the unpredictable cause. Well, accidents, sports injuries, and falls can unexpectedly lead to tooth loss regardless of age. While not always preventable, wearing protective gear during sports and being mindful of potential hazards can minimize the risk. So we have some preventive strategies. Wear a mouth guard during contact sports. Use a helmet when engaging in activities like biking or skateboarding. Childproof your home to prevent falls and injuries among young children. So there you have it. The top five reasons people are losing their teeth. Poor oral hygiene. Periodontal / gum disease, tobacco use, poor nutrition, accidents and injuries. Okay? So you want to make sure you take care of your teeth. That is one of the things that I think a lot of people, especially adults, you know, they're really not taking care of their teeth properly. And as you can hear, these are the things that we can help, other than the accidents and injuries. You know, we can lose those teeth, and it's not an easy thing. How are you going to eat? Are you going to chat? All righty. So let's get those things that we don't do underway so we can definitely take care of our mouth. Okay? All righty. All right. So what are we talking about today? We got a lot of stuff over here. But some of this stuff is like a hit it and quit it. So let's see what we're talking about today. Well, just so you know, those of you who shop at Walmart, they have this class action settlement. Yeah. So they say if you purchased some weighted groceries or bagged fruit Walmart in recent years, you may be eligible for a cash payment from a class action settlement with Walmart. Now, they're handing out $45 million in this settlement, and it's really simple, actually, but I'm trying to figure out who really saves the receipts. So they're saying that if you purchased certain weighted meat, seafood, and bagged citrus products, but they really don't go into what these items are. But if you bought them across the United States and Puerto Rico, and they're saying certain citrus sold in bulk bags, that you can get a couple of dollars. And I've been really surveying this article, and it's not saying much. But again, I go back to saying weighted meat, seafood, and bagged citrus products. So I guess, you know, that's like exactly what it says, something that, you know, they put on a scale and you purchased that wasn't maybe already packaged. They're saying some oranges, select grapefruit and tangerines. Between October 19th, 2018, and January 19th of 2024. And they say that payments will range in the amount depending on each claim. It's possible to get some money even if you don't have a receipt anymore. They say consumers without a proof of purchase can receive between $10 and $25, depending on how many eligible products they attest to buying during the settlement class period. And those with receipts or other documentation could be entitled to get 2% of the total cost of each product, and that's up to $500. So I guess you can go on, you know, their website. They say that you can receive your payments electronically through Venmo, Zelle, ACH, or virtual prepaid MasterCard. Paper checks can be requested, but you'll get those through the mail. You can submit a claim. The deadline is June 5th with final approval hearing set for June 12th. And they say objections and other comments to the settlement can be made through May 22nd. So they're not quite saying how, but I guess if you go to their website or type in, let's say, you know, Walmart class action suit, you might be able to get to that link. Okay, so now listen, don't go lying. If you ain't never shopped at Walmart and got some oranges or grapefruit, what are they saying? Orange, grapefruit, tangerines, or weighted seafood or meat, please don't go and start putting in your claim, because God does not honor the liar. Okay? All righty. did you hear about this? For those who are DoorDashers and Grubhub and Uber Eats delivery people, yeah, those workers are getting a serious bump in their hourly wage. Yeah, they're getting like, they say up to like $19.56 per hour making deliveries. Yeah. And they say that they went from making a little over $5 and change to a nice penny back last year. And now there's going to be a two-part bump where they're going to get the first piece now, and then they're going to get the second part next year by April 1st of 2025. And they went from $5.39 an hour to $17.96. So it was a nice little bump they got. So they're saying that this will now allow people to be able to pay their rent and, you know, like daily living expenses. And it is, you know, listen, you know, I say that if you can do better, you know, don't settle on this, you know, Uber Eats and DoorDasher and Grubhub delivery. If you can do better. But hey, if you can't and you need a job, you know, it seems like this is the thing to do. They're thinking about you, and they are definitely upping the hourly rate wage for you. So good for you. Good for you and good for you. What else are we talking about? Well, rats are, rats are really getting to be a, you know, a real nuisance to some people, as we are dealing with rats in the toilet for some people. Yeah. So there was a Canadian man, 76 years old. For some reason, when he saw the rat in the toilet, he was trying to fish it out, get it out of the toilet for some crazy reason. And the rat bit two of his fingers. He went to the emergency room. He got basic wound care, they say, and a tetanus booster shot. And they sent him home. But 18 days later, he was back in the ER, suffering from fever, headaches, and abdominal pain that he had been experiencing for 3 days. And his heart rate was high. His blood pressure was high. I'm sorry, his blood pressure was low. And his kidneys were damaged after they took tests. He was in multi-organ dysfunction and sepsis. He had to be admitted into the intensive care. Well, the bite wound had mostly healed, but he had contracted a bacterial infection. And they say that this particular infection is transmitted to humans by animals like rats and can be fatal in certain cases. Sometimes, it can actually kill you. And when the rat bit him, it broke the skin and actually almost did kill him. And thank God he was able to be treated with antibiotics and steroids, and he was released from the ICU, and he is doing much better now. Please, please, if you see a rat in the toilet, surely don't try to fish it out. I would try to, I try to flush the toilet, personally. Now, I don't know if it'll stop up your toilet or not, but, yeah, it came up out of there, so it surely can't go back down in there. So, please, that really does not make a whole lot of sense. You know, don't try this at home. Don't try this at home. All right? All right. Well, remember last year and the year before, we were doing a lot of talking about Rikers Island and, you know, a lot of, you know, they had a few people who actually tried to commit suicide. Well, there was a gentleman, Nicholas Feliciano, who will now need a lifetime of care, they claim. And they are going to pay him, his family, a whopping $28.7 million. Now, I would love to know your thought on this, because this is real interesting to me. So what happened is he tried to commit suicide while he was at Rikers. He was being held for a parole violation. He had already been diagnosed. It was documented that he had some mental illness. He had, you know, attempted suicide a few times. And 9 days after he was sent to jail, he tried to hang himself from his cell. And they had a few guards watch him dangle and hang on a hook from the ceiling, they say, for 7 minutes, but they did nothing. Now, there was another worker there who was watching this on a camera, who then, a captain who saw what happened, and he went and cut him down from this makeshift noose, and I guess they got him some help at that point. Now, because he was dangling for those 7 minutes, he now needs constant care. He has limited vocal functions. He can't stand independently or feed himself, and other damages. And because of their negligence on Rikers Island, they are giving him this 20-something million dollars. And they're saying that, of course, it ain't going to bring him back to his normal, you know, function of living. But he's going to get some money. Now, they say two of the guards pled guilty for official misconduct, and they have some others who have some, you know, criminal cases that are still pending. But they're saying that the city's going to have to pay out this money. And they say while he was on Rikers, Mr. Feliciano, he had been attacked twice, and he really should have been placed in another area, not the general population, because he had mental issues. Wow. Do you think he should get this money? Now, they knew he had mental issues. They did not do what he was supposed to do, what they were supposed to do. They actually watched him dangle. But, you know, I'm reading some of the statements, and people are really mad because they're really feeling like, hey, he has no business getting any, any money for this. He's attempted suicide before. They're saying, like, if this was something brand new, then that was different. But now with him having tried to attempt to commit suicide other times. So I don't know. I would love to hear what the Due Time crew feels about this. All right, before we go to the Due Time crew, there's this mama, Tierra Hill. Oh, goodness gracious. Now, they say that this 35-year-old woman in Alabama, some confidential informant told that she was going to, and she had been keeping a large amount of narcotics at a specified location. It must be her home. And they set up a surveillance outside her home. And they say the surveillance unit watched her as she left the house and tracked her vehicle before conducting a traffic stop shortly after she started driving. They say during the search of the vehicle, they uncovered 1.5 kilograms, which is over 3.3 pounds of cocaine in her car, a small amount of marijuana, and a handgun were also recovered. They said they did a search after they got a search warrant of the home, where they say 4 children, 3, 8, 10, and 15, were found inside the home unattended. And they say they end up going into one of the children's blue Nike backpack. And this was the 3-year-old. And they say inside the bag they found 4.4 pounds of cocaine. They say a second backpack that wasn't being worn by the child contained about 1 kilogram of cocaine, as well as 2 handguns. Oh, boy. So they ended up charging her for leaving 4 of the kids unattended in a home with deadly weapons and narcotics. And all of the stuff was accessible to the children. And she's facing some big charges. And they're saying that it's no mistake she left the kids with and around this stuff, as well as they're saying that if the child had the backpack on at any moment, she is being charged with negligence. And $100,000 in cocaine altogether. Wow. You know, I don't understand these people. We found them putting drugs in the backpack, guns in the backpack, this whole thing with these children in their backpacks and lunch boxes. I don't know how we get here where we're using the children for all of these things, but let's talk to the Due Time crew and see what they think. Let's say good morning to our girl, Tamika. Good morning, Tamika.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Good morning. How are you?
I am doing well, thank you. It's been forever since I've had a chance to speak to you. How are you?
I am doing well. How was your weekend?
My weekend was well, thank you. How did you spend your weekend?
Recouping. I've been not feeling well, but well enough to be able to speak. Let's put it that way.
All righty. Well, we're glad that you're able to speak now, and we haven't spoken to you in so long. We owe you a hearty happy birthday. Woo! To Lady Tamika, thanking God for another year here on earth, thanking God that you are on the great side of health, and giving God thanks for you being a part of the Due Time crew. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate that. Thank you,
God,
most of all, for still being here.
Amen, amen, and amen. All right, let's talk about some of this news that we have. All righty. Well, let's talk about this Rikers Island situation. So we have this gentleman, and I believe he is, 30-something years old? And he was on Rikers Island. He had, in the past, attempted suicide several times. He had a history of mental illness. The guards watched him dangle for about 7 minutes when he tried to commit suicide until a captain came and cut him down. 22 years old. He's 22 years old. Now he's 22. And because he now suffers from several ailments, such as memory loss, not being able to stand up, so forth and so on, he is now entitled to $28.7 million they're giving to the family. And some people who have read this article feel that, listen, he tried to kill himself and he failed, and why should the city pay? And definitely paid this kind of money. They say that if he couldn't finish the job, then that was his problem. What say you?
You know, the sad part about it is when we look across the board, and we're not just talking prison, but because that is the concern that we're addressing, people don't do their jobs, This is not the first time that an individual has been on suicide watch and has actually committed the act, and you didn't do, what you were supposed to do, And the sad part about it is now this gentleman and whoever family members, now suffer because you didn't do your job. He should not have been placed there. You knew he had mental issues. There are areas where that is their job. They're supposed to be watching. Should he be awarded these resources? We're talking about someone who committed a crime. But the sad part about that is a lot of times people take off the fact that he's a human being, and like it or not, it's your responsibility. You did not do what you were supposed to do, and so now you got to pay.
Okay. Okay, I'll wait until you all weigh in on this particular situation. Let me hear from you. Let me hear, that whether you feel that, these people should, be awarded if this is something that happens. All right, Lady Tamika says, yes, it was their negligence over on Rikers Island that they didn't do their job, and now they suffer the consequences. The city has to pay. All righty. Also, let's see what else we're talking about. We're talking about this mama with the cocaine in the backpack, in the baby's backpack. This seems to be a trend, Tamika, where, you know, you're putting the stuff in the baby's backpack. You know, what kind of jail time should she get?
You know me. You know me, a little kids, right?
Yeah.
Anytime it comes to a kid, it hit me differently, you know, and I ain't got to be somebody mama to feel it, you know. And so we have seen situations where it's in the backpack, it's in the baby pamper. You know, people don't care they don't value their life. You know, it's just as long as I can get away. Whatever I got to do, if I got to put the baby in front of me like a shield, if I got to put the drugs in the pamper, if I got to, you know, put it in the baby bottle, you know, it's just crazy. You know, people don't care anymore. And you put these children's lives in jeopardy. How many times have we heard about somebody thinking it's a piece of candy, and they put it in their mouth, and then all of a sudden, you know, the mama or the father, I don't know what happened. This is, I'm just, you know, like, I'm so tired of hearing. How many more stories do we have to hear about children's lives being in jeopardy? And it's becoming common knowledge that you did not care. You couldn't have, you know. And then when something happens to your child, you're the first one crying. It's kind of like, you know, Riri dies, and now you're the one falling into the casket. You didn't do what you were supposed to do to govern and guard your children. And so, yes, she gets, take the book, take more than one book, take a couple of books. As a matter of fact, take all the books that you got in the library. Just throw them at her, you know, because it just doesn't make any sense.
Wow. Yeah, this is a lot. They're saying in her home they found over $100,000. And as a matter of fact, they say the toddler was allegedly found lugging around more than $100,000 in cocaine. So this has nothing to even do with the total amount. This is just the part that was in the baby's book bag, knapsack. Terrible, terrible, terrible. I don't know what these people are thinking. I agree with you. Throw the book at her. Big time. Thank you so much for joining us today. We're going to talk to our Pastor KL and see what he has to say. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing peachy, just peachy.
All righty. Well, you are another one who celebrated a birthday this weekend. So we say a loud, happy birthday to you, Pastor KL. Thanking God for your life and you being on this side of the grave another year in good health. And we thank God for you being a part of the Due Time crew.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. We want to know what you think about this $28.7 million that they're giving to the family of this 22-year-old gentleman who attempted to commit suicide for we don't know how many, what number this was, and the guards left him hanging for 7 minutes until the captain cut him down. And people are saying, yo, he was the one who tried to commit suicide. They didn't try to kill him. Why should the city pay? What say you?
Well, I mean, while I am in agreement that, you know, someone didn't do their job, I also question, how do you benefit from me going to jail? As my family. I mean, because I don't benefit all that money. What are they going to do, put a couple of dollars on my books? So now you, who's crying for Pookie, now celebrates Pookie, because I'm getting $2.8 million. Now, what would a Pookie do with it? He would have just used it for a better casket because he don't want to be here anyway. So now you get paid for somebody's stunt. Nah, I don't. You know, give him a couple of hundred dollars. But $2.8 million for a body that don't want to be here? No, thank you.
Pastor KL, you are saying $2.8 million. No, it's $28.7 million.
No. Can I be Pookie's cousin? Because after I get the money, I kill him myself.
Yeah, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. I said I would, you know, hold my, you know, what I would do. You know, unfortunately, yes, he was, he had mental illness. He shouldn't have been placed in general population. He did try to commit suicide, but they did try to kill him. They actually watched him dangle for 7 whole minutes. I understand you're not, you know, responsible for putting his neck in the noose, but you do have a responsibility. I definitely would not give him $28.7 million, his family, because he's no longer in the best of health. He's going to need care for the rest of his life. Well, that's what he wanted, you know. So I definitely would pay him close to $30 million, his family, $30 million. He would get maybe $1 million, if even that much. But no. And I'm going to be honest. You know, most of the time when you a settlement, it's for loss of wages. We know good and well he would not have ever garnered these type of wages in his life, as well as, you know, the fact that he will have to get, like, certain care and that stuff is good. But he'll get Medicaid, so they don't have to come out of their pocket with this money. He surely would not get, as a matter of fact, he would get nowhere near $1 million, but definitely not no $28.7 million. I think that's a travesty in and of itself. It's really bad that, you know, this is what, you know, they are trying to pay him. This is a bit much. What kind of time should Mama get for putting at least $100,000 worth of cocaine in the baby's knapsack?
Life. Should definitely get life. I mean, that. First of all, you shouldn't have no children. And I speak about it all the time on the radio. How, you know, we have these little parents, especially the Mexican ones, with the children and the strollers, and they pack the strollers up with stuff and walk out the store. They use the children as pawns, you know, because they are the last people anybody supposedly would expect. You know, first of all, for a little child to be carrying all that crap on his back, that's already you trying to kill him. He's already going through physical therapy, you know, and now you actually putting an X on his back, because if anybody, obviously somebody knew that she had all this stuff, they can go straight after the child. You do not have your children concerned.
Yeah. She needs to really pay for this nonsense. You know, you, like you said, for somebody to be able to tell the cops that she has this kind of drugs in her house, she needs to go to jail for life. She endangered those children's lives. There were firearms in the home, and definitely she needs to pay for that. Definitely needs to pay for that. So I don't know. You know, I hope she gets a long time, because she does not need children. I agree 100%. I agree 100%. Thank you so much for indulging me and the news this morning. We've got a relationship question. So here's a scenario, and we want to know how you, Lady Tamika, and you, Pastor KL, feel about this particular situation. So they say that there is this huge problem with women who are the breadwinners in the relationship. Not that the women are making it a problem, but that the boyfriend or the male has the problem in the relationship. And there was a dilemma that broke out between a couple. And we'll see what you think. They say that this happened when a woman and her boyfriend went out with some other women. There were five women and three other men at the table. And, well, two other men, because this guy, Ben, was included. And they say that when it was time to pay the bill, that Ben did not have the money to pay for a third of the bill. The men said that they insisted on paying the bill and that they would split the bill. The two other men said this. So Ben, being old-fashioned, didn't want to be in the scenario where he could not pay a third of the bill. So he wasn't comfortable with paying that. So he said he would chip in also. And then he took it a step further, and he leaned over to the female that he was with, and he asked her to loan him the money so he could pay a third of the bill. So she said she found this really ridiculous because she knew he couldn't afford to pay the bill, and why would he volunteer? So she said she would pay the third of the bill. So now he's mad at her because he says that she emasculated him and made him look bad in front of his friends. And she said he needs to get over it. And who cares? They could care less whether he could pay the bill or not. And they're having this huge issue in their relationship. And now this has really brought up the fact that he feels weird because she makes more money in this relationship. So, Lady Tamika, is this wrong? Was it wrong for her to tell them at the table that she would pay a third of the bill because she was not going to allow him to lean over and pretend like he was really paying the bill? What do you think?
Okay, so obviously that should have been something that could have been established prior to. You know, I've had an instance where something like that actually did happen. Everybody was shelling out, and, you know, he actually said to me, you know, would you help me with this? And, you know, I'll pay you back. And honestly, you know, I didn't even give it a second thought. You know, I gave him the resources. He did pay me back. And it literally smoothed the issue out. There was literally no problem after that. You know, and I think at that point she did demasculate him. She could have literally just paid him the money. What difference did it make that they knew who made what and who paid what? You know, the men stated that they were going to do it. He wanted to in turn do the same. You know, what you also did is you opened up an avenue for everybody to now you're the viewpoint. of people's conversation that didn't necessarily need to happen. But by doing that, you opened up avenues that didn't need to be.
Okay. Okay. Pastor KL, what do you feel?
Well, I'm in agreement. However, I think that this should have been a conversation at home. You know, you knew that you didn't have this money. And if you wanted her to do that, then she should have gave you the money before we left the house. So it would not have been a scene. You know what I mean? So, I think she was definitely out of order because on either side, we're supposed to cover each other. And in making you look bad makes me look bad. So you have to look at the face of both people because now this is the person I'm supposed to be with, but now I got to front him this money and I'm going to call him out on it. That's not a good look. No matter how boastful you feel or how prideful you feel, that's not a good look. We should have did this. Hey, baby, I know you said that you wanted to pay a third, and I know you ain't got. She knew he didn't have no money when they sat down at the table. So for all this to transpire, I wouldn't have went because I'm not gonna go out there like that knowing I don't have any money. You know, if she can't cover me.
Okay. They say a study shows that relationships with the female breadwinner, and that's the one who makes the higher money, not that he makes nothing, but she makes more money in the relationship, end up in divorce 50% of the time. And that's the first thing. So what do you think about that? What do you think about this issue of, you know, the man feeling bad in general because the woman makes more money and these marriages end up in divorce, Tamika?
I think that's a sad thing. But I've often, even in counseling, you know, one of the major issues in marriage is money, you know, and so it doesn't surprise me that would fall in line, whether it's, you know, whoever makes the more money. There is going to, unless you two learn how to agree on resources and money, it can become an issue. And unless you know how to talk to one another about resources, again, you know, it can cause a major stroke.
Okay. Pastor KL, they say that relationships where the woman makes more money, 50% of the time, the men, they end up in divorce. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that's a serious issue on a couple of levels. One, the woman takes care of the man, and it happens a lot here in Alabama, takes care of the man, allows him to move in, he buys his clothes and all this other stuff, and then she gets fed up. You know, she started the trend, but now that he's not bringing in as much as she's doing, now she's fed up, and she realizes that she can do better. On the other side is that a man's pride sometimes won't allow you to make more money than me. And when it's seemingly like you're doing most of the work, meaning paying the lump share of the bills, now I feel inadequate. So now there's no peace in the house because, oh, you want to wear the pants or you want to make the final decision. Because you make the money, then I can't have this because you say we don't need it. So, yeah, it becomes a little crazy in the house.
How do you deal with this? You know, how should, you know, the couple deal with this, Tamika, where, you know, the man makes less money than the woman? How, you know, Pastor Kale says, you know, it starts off with her knowing he makes less money than her, and initially she doesn't have a problem with it, but then after a while, you know, she gradually ends up with the problem. What do you think? How do you think she should handle this?
I think that counseling, prior to getting in an in-depth relationship, is crucial, you know, because they're going to come situations. You know, there are going to be, you know, times where he makes more money than she does. I'm just turning the situation around and, you know, you're out there and you don't have enough. And you say, well, I want to buy, you know, those shoes. I really like those shoes. And he's like, no, you know, he'll tell you, no, you're not buying that because he makes more money. You know, and I think it's something that is crucial on counseling, you know, on how we're going to disperse resources. Who's going to pay the bills? How are we going to get things done? You know, you make more. Does that mean that you pay more? You know, and then because I make less, you know, how do we rearrange? How do we, you know, are you going to get to the point where, you know, after 2 years, now I'm annoyed because, oh, I got to pay this. Or we go out, I always got to pay, you know. When you can pay, you know, especially as a lesser person, then, you know, offer. You know, if we're going to, let's just say, for instance, White Castle or McDonald's, which is not really that expensive, you know, it's something we're just going to drop by, get some fries, and go. You know, you have the resources. Don't tell me you can't pay, buy some fries. Then offer to do that, you know. Don't always make it the responsibility of the person who's making the greater resources to pay all the time. If you have the resources, then offer.
Okay. Pastor KL, how do you think that you should handle this when you make, as the woman, make more money than the man?
Well, okay, so again, from my analogies, you know, if you're that woman who was okay with it at the beginning, you need to be okay with it at the end. You know, we keep on creating monsters and creating behaviors and then get frustrated because we no longer like the monster that we created. You know, as Tamika says, a lot of things have to be set up in the beginning where this is what's going to happen. Okay, you make a little bit more money, so you'll pay this and this. I'll pay, or you pay the larger house bills. I'll pay, you know, like the utility. You pay the mortgage. You know, certain things like that, it's so much easier. You know, in my marriage, it was so much easier that way because we knew who was paying what. And then when we went out to eat, she'll pay or I'll pay, whatever. But when you have a situation where, you know, it's okay, baby, you pay when you can. No, because you know what? I can't ever pay. You know, we talk about how when people make loans and we say, oh, pay when you can. I can never pay. I can't. So when you give me that situation or that option, then my payment is going to be null and void because I can never pay.
Okay. I'm going to ask this question. What happens when a woman meets a man who he has positioned himself to really not make decent money? Do you encourage her to even get involved with him? Tamika.
Okay. Now we're on that side. You know, and I've seen situations like that, you know, where you make an abundance, let's just say, of resources. He either doesn't work or he can't keep a job for whatever reason. He works this job for 3 months. He got another job. He got a temp job. He works for a week. You know, those type of things, you know, and he always seems to be that. You know, don't get yourself into a situation where, oh, it's okay. You know, 2 months down the road is good. You know, 9 months down the road, he's still not. You know, you have already allowed him to come into your home. So now he's sucking up resources and he can't seem to pay. I mean, he's not paying anything. You know, you got all the bills. And now because while you're at work, he's watching TV, taking a shower, on the phone that he's not paying for because you're paying his bill. That is the type of stuff that becomes overwhelming. Don't open up your avenue for that. You know what your standards are. Don't get to the point where you lower yourself to that degree where he's not looking for resources or that he literally just, I mean, you know, over and over. You've been in a relationship for 3 years, and he's had a job for 6 months. You know, and we're not talking about for the length of time. We're talking about combined in the 3 years. He's only been at a job for 6 months. Don't allow yourself to get into that point where now it's 3 years in the relationship. You're going on year number four, and you're struggling because now you're paying for not just you. You got you, him, and kids that you didn't know anything about, but they came about because you're in a relationship. And, you know, and the sad part about that is I've seen the situation. This is not something that I've heard. You know, you taking on all his other responsibilities, you know, because when you say yes to that one thing, you are literally opening up yourself to all kinds of chaos that could come and hit you when you're not expecting.
Pastor KL. You know, we're talking about the man who is a ne'er-do-well, and that's why he makes less money than you. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, and I'm probably going, you probably going to get some writing behind this, but, you know, love and pretty don't pay bills. You know, we keep saying all we need is love. No, love, I've never went to the power company, you know, with a handful of love. And they say, okay, I won't turn off your lights. It doesn't pay bills. And sometimes we get caught up in starstruck, you know, but it's a fad. It will only last for a little while, you know. And especially if you're a woman or you're a man who's gold-minded, and this other person doesn't have any goals, when you say what you want to be or where do you see yourself in 5 years, and he say, I just want to be alive. Oh, no, well, you need to live somewhere else. I've heard a lot of black folks say, well, you know, I'm black. I just want to be alive in 5 years. Well, you need to live somewhere else because I'm going to be alive, but I want things while I'm alive. You know, I know my father has a mansion, but I like to get a little mansion while I'm here. I'm not going to wait till I die to get it all. So, yeah, if they're not gold-minded, you know, love and pretty, don't buy. Don't pay no bills. You can't eat off of pretty.
Let's talk about something else that's actually on the table. And we're talking about men who don't take care of children. You know, he's not, you know, that's not one of his concerns. You know, if you're not working and you can't take care of your children, what should be the mindset of the woman who he's pursuing, Lady Tamika?
No, that was always my especially considering the fact that I'm a woman without children. So you're coming to me, you know, and you can't pay for your kids, you know, and so you're looking for someone who can help you pay for your kids. I'm not going to do it, you know, because my thing is, what I'm bringing to the table, I expect you to bring back, you know, and so you come to me with nothing in your hands, nothing to offer, and then you come in with your hands out. You know, that's definitely not fair and not something that I can afford.
All righty. Pastor KL, what say you?
Well, that's funny, because if I can't take care of my children, I can't take care of you. You know, but not only that, let's just go a little deeper. What about the man who don't take care of his children but take care of yours? And you think that's okay? You know, if a man won't take care of his own children, but you're okay with him taking care of your children, when he comes short in your house, then you can't be mad. Listen, you know my responsible level is null and void. I'm just trying to help out what I can help out. But it's no guarantee that I'm going to do it. I've showed you my hand.
Wow. So, Pastor KL, while we have you on the line, open mic, what should a woman look for in a man? You know, a man who's pursuing her. What should she look for?
Well, a lot of things, and this might sound a little sappy, but think about how he talks about his mother, how he talks about his sister. You know, if he's talking highly about his mother, then he's going to respect the woman. He's going to respect you because he respects his mother. You know, if everything is negative about his family, be careful because he's not family oriented, and he's looking for a getaway. If he has children with a bunch of different women and not paying anything, and the courts has him in court every other week, there's an issue. Because the last thing that a responsible man wants is to be caught up in court about child support. You know, if he's never, he's always want to go out, but he never has enough money to pay the bills. If he's 40 and still living with mama, no matter how much he loved mama, but if you're 40 still living with mama, you have no goals. You have to be careful. Now he's looking for a place to squat. And if he only wants to talk to you in the wintertime, he needs a place to live.
Mm-hmm. All righty, ladies. You've heard it. Don't say that the Due Time crew did not school you, because they have. All right, Pastor KL, we're going to close this session down a little early today, giving God thanks for your contribution into today's conversation, and we pray you have a blessed day. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All righty. Well, we're going to push some things up this morning because we're shutting down a little earlier today. So it is time for our switch tip, The Switch with Shantice, as it's called. So let's say good morning to Shantice. Good morning, Shantice.
Good morning. How are you, Pastor?
How are you? I am well, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
Good, good. What you got for us today?
Today I have The Switch with Shantice, where we make the switch from the streets to our godly seat. And our switch tip 184 is meet God's requirements. Requirement means a thing that is needed or wanted or a necessary condition. And despite what a lot of people believe, you know, with reading that those two definitions, and Pastor Steph, you're saying that God keeps telling you, I'm speaking more to my people than I'm speaking to the non-believers. And God has really been checking those of us who have been saying, I'm a Christ follower. I'm God's child. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But meanwhile, the lifestyle that they're living, the lifestyle that we're living, the choices that we're making, really puts that in question. And with going back and forth, whether it's a respectful debate or whether it's a real high tense debate that's calling it to be a hostile situation, you know, when you're speaking to another quote unquote believer, one of the things we really have to make sure we're pointing out on behalf of God is the things that God is saying is needed and wanted by him, the things that God is saying is necessary. And when God is telling us that it's necessary or that it's needed or that it's wanted, he is saying that these are the things we need to do, the way we need to think, the way we need to speak, the way we need to move, and the type of choices we need to make in order to inherit the kingdom. That is the ultimate goal. And as Pastor K.O. just pointed out, God doesn't only want us to live with hopes that we would just inherit the kingdom and have eternal life. He also wants us to live in hopes that we can live a great life now, today, not to live, as the streets would say, in hell today, because this ain't hell. So if you're thinking this is bad, you better hold on to the necessary conditions and the things God has said is needed and wanted by him in order to have a good life. Okay, so I brought up, there's a whole lot of verses that touch on what God requires, what God says is necessary, but I'm going to just point out a few. And one of the verses that came up, it fell under the title of discipleship being costly. And, of course, those of us who are Christ followers understand that one of our callings, regardless of who you are, what God has for you, you must disciple, meaning you must now assist Jesus in breeding other Christ followers. Matthew 16:24 in the Amplified Version reads, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, set aside selfish interests, and take up his cross, expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come, and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example in living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me." And this verse really stands out to me because God has been on me a lot about suffering and pointed out how I'm not willing to suffer the way that he needs me to, which is a necessary condition. So if we are not willing to put what we think aside, what we want to do aside, if we're not willing to put our comfortability aside for him so that Jesus can use us, we don't really want to be his disciple. And being willing to put our comfortability aside is a necessary condition in order to really follow him and inherit the kingdom and live great here on earth right now. Acts 2:38, Amplified Version reads, "And Peter said to them, repent, change your old way of thinking, turn from your sinful ways, accept and follow Jesus as the Messiah, and be baptized, each of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And we're going to couple that up with John 14:6, Amplified Version, which reads, "Jesus said to him, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And we're mentioning those two verses and coupling them together because I am so sick and tired, and I'm sure Jesus is, of people belittling him and who he is and what he's done. He either doesn't exist to people, or he was just a prophet, or he's on the same level of recognition and notoriety as Moses and all of that. And a necessary condition in order to truly call yourself a godly person is to acknowledge Jesus for who he really is. Jesus is one and only begotten Son who came here in the flesh to die for our sins, who then ascended back into heaven, who because of the sacrifice that he made for us is now sitting on the right-hand side of God, and who is still putting himself out there for us every single second of every day so that we have the ability to still breathe. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, go back and read the Old Testament. God would have snatched our breath a long time ago. So it is a necessary condition to recognize Jesus for who he really is in order to inherit everything that God has for you. And, of course, everyone knows John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." If God felt it was a necessary condition to offer up his one and only Son who did nothing wrong, but he was willing to give up his life so that we could have chance after chance after chance at a real life, why do we not believe it's a necessary condition that we put our comfortability, our flesh, our remedial ways of thinking to the side? So we need to make sure we're making the switch from doing what we want to do, from following our own rules in mind and our own way of thinking and leading to our own understanding, and making sure we are meeting God's requirements so that we can live life and life abundantly. Thank you, Pastor Steph.
Thank you, Shantice. Thank you. And we pray you have a blessed day.
Thank you, too.
Thank you. All right. Let's get this benediction. We're going old school now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. That's Jude 24 and 25. You know, I really love God because he doesn't mince words. Doesn't mince words at all. Doesn't mince words. You know how he feels. You know what he's thinking. You know what he feels about, excuse me, about things. And, you know, today, you know, the light has shined on the things that we should do and the things that we don't do. And everything is connected. You know, we talked about the gentleman who, you know, tried to kill himself, and, you know, the people in Rikers Island helped him collect money for it. You know, had he tried to commit suicide and they took him down immediately, then there couldn't have been any money. They could have even made claims for it because everyone would have been doing their job. You know, the mother who has four children, and whether she was, you know, running drugs or doing whatever, because you know that wasn't for her own personal usage. She was running drugs some shape, form, or fashion, you know, regardless of what part she was playing, she was running drugs. You know, the irresponsibility is going to come back to bite you. And we have to watch those who are irresponsible. So we talk about the woman who, you know, clearly knows that her friend, her guy, her boyfriend, whatever you want to call him, her man, does not have the money to put on the table later. You know, this had not been discussed whether the men would pay the bill before they got there. But you be proactive. You know, I agree. This should have been something that you took care of at the house and just said, well, listen, you know, if it comes up and you want to, you know, pay for part of the bill, pay for our part of the bill, then, you know, here's the ability to do so because you already know. But surely you don't wait until then and then, you know, embarrass him. That's really not the move. If you want to, you know, look good, you want him to look good, you don't do things like that. But the bigger message is, in all of this, what are you doing? What are you doing? How are you making your decisions? Which decisions are you making? And, you know, we talked about the fact that, you know, what does a woman want? What does she deserve? What do you want overall? You are not going to ever convince me that a woman who is a hard worker, a woman who is goal-oriented, a woman who has a good head on her shoulder, a woman who wants something for herself, who possibly has a child. You know, these days and times, we're really not finding people who are disconnected from children, you know. Everybody got a child somewhere, some shape, some form, some fashion. Very few people in this world do not have children in their adult ages. But if you have, you know, had your child or children and you're doing the thing, you're making it happen, what do you want with a man who doesn't? What do you want with a man who does not have any goals? What do you want with a man who comes with a bunch of excuses? What do you want with a man who cannot hold down a job? What do you want with a man who doesn't find it necessary to work to take care of his children? What do you want with a man who has a piece of job but does not take care of his children? Who blames everything on the mama? Who uses that bad relationship as an excuse? What do you want with a man that is in the bed when you get up to go to work every day? If you got a part-time job, what do you want with a man who is not getting up to go to work, and you're getting up to go to work. I cannot imagine myself in these days and times or in days of old being on a job, calling a man who's at home, or being at work, getting a call from a man who ain't on a job. That there's nothing connected to God in that. What do you want with that? You should want nothing. Nothing, nothing. And again, I say nothing. If you have no goals, if you have no aspirations, then you should not want this as a part of your life. God has not brought you this far in order for you to be on that side of the fence. So that's why I say it's all tied into the stories we talked about today. It's all tied into the main story we talked about today. Do better for yourself. When, you know, people, God gives you so that you can give back to him. A person who you are dealing with that has nothing will only drain you. And you are nothing to God when you're drained. Your life has been reserved so that you can give God the glory out of your life. And when you realize that and you come to the decision that you want to live your life and you want to accomplish something, then nothing is going to be satisfactory to you, and it's going to get to you after a while. And that's what happened with this young lady. I'm saying she's a young lady because that just from the tone of the story, it seems like this is some, you know, this is a younger couple. It sounds like somebody in their 50s and 60s. So you don't want to, like Pastor Kale said, you don't want to get down the road and now, you know, in the beginning it was okay because he told you he was going to get a job. Oh, I'm going to get a job. Well, you know, I'm just down on my luck right now. Well, guess what? You take the time and you deal with him when he's up on his luck, because that's what's going to happen. You're going to get real tired. This is going to go real tight. It's only so much bad action that can happen. Let's just be frank. We all adults here. Ain't no kids listening to this broadcast because they should be in school right about now. But there is no, the bad action ain't that good. It's only temporary. Just like Pastor KL said, you cannot pay your rent or your mortgage with the bad action. And you ain't going to be looking in your face, in my face, making me think that your bad action is so good that it's going to take care of everything else. Nah, I shall pass. So let people know, God made me, and I am worthy of love. If nothing stimulates you to get yourself together, and you having a good woman does not stimulate you to get yourself together, because good women keep accepting these bad men, then guess what? You won't learn it here. You won't receive it here. So let's get ourselves together, ladies, and let's make him get himself together. You just may be the one that's supposed to stimulate him. And that doesn't mean stimulate him while looking at him. Let him know that he's not worth your time unless he's willing to get up and get himself together. Period. I'll see you when you call me when you get a job and you get yourself together. I got other things to do in the interim. If it's meant for us to be together, then, oh well, I shall see you when the time comes around. Until then, sayonara. All right? So don't get yourself into a situation where you're now embarrassing him and all of this kind of stuff. That's not going to work well. That's not good. Just know what your limitations are. Set your standards and live with it. Okay? All righty. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew for always coming through big time. Thank you for hanging out with us and helping us do what we do. Oh, please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. Please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord right now, because later is not promised to any of us. Until tomorrow, God spares. Where? It's Let's Talk About It Tuesday, Church Folk Day. Until then, I love you.